Okay, hi everybody. We're back with part B, which is the downside projection concept. And I'm going to address this issue in a different way than we've done it in the past. I'm going to give you the T-theory, the general downside projection that you would make in T-theory, knowing that you can't tell exactly where it is, but you can kind of give you a range of places in time where you're going to be looking for the low, and you can look at a range of prices that you could get for a low. And that's more or less where you're headed as far as T-theory concerned. And then I'm going to speak to just in general terms, a cycle projection concept which was came in the email and represents what I think is the best work I've ever seen on projections, and I'm not sure that it's right. I'm taking it as an honest set of work, and it has some, probably adds some insight to the downside from a completely different way. It's very amplitude based. In other words, it's going to come up with some downside times and downside levels for the Dow Jones Industrial Average and some places where we're going to turn. The projection only lasts to the end of the year. And I don't think that you should let this overly influence you, except that I would say that it's not a good, it's if you're in the money management business, which I happen to be, okay, you had a first bull market rally for the short range T's that were in the chart, and you had the second one, and now you're going to have a correction, but you're going to eventually you're going to resume the bull market. So the question is, why should you sell something? The answer is that people don't really care about, you know, you're only as good as your rate of return is. And it doesn't make any difference whether the bull market's going to resume itself. If you've got a problem, they don't want to know. People don't want money to be riding through problems. If you don't have the problem, you know, you can get rid of the problem of selling it. You want to get into it.
This is a sort of a new project for me, and I asked the fellow who's named Joe if he would keep me informed of this. I have no interest in printing his stuff without his permission, and he hasn't given me the permission. And I think that's the best way to proceed. If he wants to talk about more about it, that I'll let him contact me on that one. But most of the stuff I get is mostly junks anyway, and this one looks pretty good. So what we're going to do is factor the two in. What I'm going to say at the end of the argument is that you can make an argument that the T-theory forecasts are very similar. The T-theory forecast and Joe's cycle projection are similar in the way the form is. And he said, you know, he likes the stuff because it basically refines some of what he's doing. So that's why he does it. But in any case, the thing that's unusual about him is that he doesn't seem to think that the decline that we're going to get is very substantial. And when I talk about my T-theory stuff, it's sort of vague on that point, because there's not a hell of a lot you can do about where that's going through. And I would say that what you have to decide is, I think the two very good concepts, and so you got to kind of split the difference between the two, and none of them are guaranteed, and so forth. But there's a bias to the decline being more damaging based on what he says. I haven't asked him how he ever does this stuff, which is not a polite thing to do, to ask people, unless they want to volunteer it. But I just think that you have to sort of factor it in, and that's why I said that I thought that you should just move to the sidelines here, basically, because what we're going to see is a correction in a market condition which is unstable. According to the 40-year cycle, it's unstable to a large degree, and we'll see how it comes out. Okay,
The pertinent points in the T-theory forecast is that, now we go back to the data in the table, general projection that you would have here, if you look down at the table, you see the S&P height to date is 1096. That would be, so you get the date, you get the arms ratio, you get the net volume, and then you get S&P high, and what you're going to try and do is take the width of the channel, which is about 16%, and we're going to come off the high. Where you follow the high up, you'll see that on the 15th, it's 1096. That may be the high. It could possibly go high. I don't think it's going to go higher than that. Okay, but if you did do it, it's going to make much of a difference. So you take the 1096, the width of the channel is about 16%. So the normal thing you're saying is that from the high, it should be, what you do is you take 1096, you get 16% of that, which is so many S&P points, and then you subtract it from the 1096, and that's what your objective is. That gets rid of some of the problems of not hitting the upper channel line and so forth, and you come up with, and you make that calculation by yourself, and that's what you're going to say. There's always the question about if you came down to the green line, which, you know, if you look at the chart there, it's a little bit above 930. But if you go to the extreme case, which is what this other work is going to show you, the question is, if you're in a bull market, what's the worst thing you can do? Well, when you draw a successive series of T's in a bull market, so we're at the second bull market T, has a center post low, and then we're going to eventually, in the latter part, we're going to have a center post low. The center post lows are always rising, but if they don't rise, they won't fall. So there's a floor, and the conclusion is that no matter how bad you go, you really can't go below the low at around the second bull market T, which has two lows in it. Say, so maybe that's 880 on the S&P 500. So that's the second thing. Time-wise, it's basically you need to go through. Very common that the cash buildup phase is either going to be the same as the first two T's. By the time you get into mid-November, you're likely to be at a low, but you could push it into the historically, by the time you get into mid-December, if you get into mid-December, the problem is that they're all getting the bottom. They were probably getting the tax loss sellings out of the way or some other thing. So I'm not particularly interested in the that range and so forth, but I'm very, very much interested in what the projection of the time is. Now, let's talk about this. So that's, anyway, my philosophy is you're going down to the green line, but I know that you can make a break it below it if things, if you run into some bad situations, somebody fires a missile to another country or somebody files for bankruptcy or something like that, you can do that, and you can spike it down. Under normal circumstances, what you do is you penetrate the green line just for a little while, and then you start to work back on the other side. But you never go below the center post of the previous T, so that says that 880, you can't go below it. Okay, so now we go over to this other plot. This other plot is pretty good. It shows the rally. What's interesting about it is it shows the rally in the first T, which is correct. Okay, it shows a pullback into the early July time period, which is about right, and then it shows you coming up in a rally that eventually is just a little bit less than the first T. In other words, if you look at the S&P 500 here, you see that the S&P 500 in this rise in the second bull T is slightly less than the first rally in the first bull T. But that's explainable because there isn't necessarily a problem there. It's just more oversold. But anyway, that ratio does hold sales. The thing that I thought was really, really good, he says he's got the concept of the mystery T. However, it's mispositioned time-wise. In other words, he's showing, well, not necessarily. He may show it coming up. Instead of mystery T came up, is the echo from A to B in the chart. And it comes out to be a few days after the middle of September. His comes out a little bit earlier than that. So it's and he shows that's the all-time high.
Okay. Then it shows a sharp decline, and then you come back up again to a top in 10/12, October 12th. So it's coming up about a couple days later than that. But he shows it as a lower top, but it's actually a token new high. You can pick that up from my tops. Then he shows the market going down, and it goes underneath the July low. So what he's saying is that the low at 880, which is the last low at 880, is going to be taken out. And the only way you can do that is to have a crisis, which is possible. Okay, but taking out in T theory, taking out the 880 low is not possible. So I would say it was a little mystery there that has to be resolved. But the idea that you're going to have the whole T wiped out means that you don't really want to be in the stock market, okay? Because why should you give the whole thing? Blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe it's the green line. Maybe it's the 16% off the high, and maybe his is right. But when you add in the fact that the stuff looks good to me, I would say that you kind of have to say that the new information is worse than the standard forecast. Standard forecast assumes there's no problems because it's based on history, which is not associated with the crisis that we've had.
Well, we'll have to work on that one. Second thing is that he gives the data to the end of the year. Based on what his chart says, you're just going to go sideways. In other words, you're going to have a sharp decline. Whether it goes down to the takes out the August low, that's not a problem. I mean, if you go on below the green line, he's probably warning you the correct thing, as far as I can see. But what he's showing is that the part that we don't really know about is that when you get oversold, it just goes sideways into the end of the year. Well, I can believe it could be sideways. I can believe it could be sideways into the end of the year because I've seen saucer bottoms develop after the first rally in 1975. You came out of a deep blouses and you had the saucer bottom. Then the saucer bottom started cut into an accumulation pattern, and it turned up and it blew up into the next year. So that, I would assume that's probably true. He obviously isn't going to give the next year's forecast until next year, till some time later on. And I don't want to disturb what he's saying or anything like that. So if he wants to send me another chart, first of all, we're going to see how this thing works out. But basically, it shows that you're going to take a serious decline that's going to go underneath the early July low, and it's going to go sideways to the end of the year. If you're in the money management business, this, you don't ever want to do that. So show somebody you made a lot of money and then you let it get away. People are not happy about that. They're always never happy, but they don't like that one. That's major crucial. So we don't make that mistake on the bottom zones, and I would think I just relay on to you that I wouldn't bother to do it. I do think that this very serious, it's a very serious problem relative to the fact that if it does get down there, but there's also an opportunity. One of the things is the T-theory will make it come out right. But if you could ever get the market to go underneath the early July low, that is about 880 on the S&P 500, what'll happen is it'll hit us. It's got to be in a selling climax at that time. The arms ratio is going to be really, really big. And if you ever get it to go underneath there, you almost get the perfect entry point, because the T will within a day or so, the T will just reverse it, and you'll start going into the sideways pattern. So I would say that if you get fully in cash, maybe it's going to go down there, and maybe you could get lucky to watch a selling climax. And the selling climax will give you the opportunity to the entry. And if you do that, what you do is you put 50% of the money in the back into the market at the time you take that low out, on the assumption that you'll reverse very quickly. He shows there's some kind of a reversal in the trading range, but that is almost is the ideal place that the whole thing would work out to be really good for 50% of the money. Then the other half, you just have to figure out where the accumulation pattern is. The accumulation pattern, I used to do that is with advanced Klein oscillators, like the McClellan oscillator is an advanced Klein oscillator and so forth. But it turns out that it's just the advanced decline line makes a double bottom. That's where you find the B and C bottoms. So, you know, you sit around and you wait for the other 50% patiently. But if there's fireworks on the downside, I'd say that that's it's going to be somewhat easier to get 50% of the money in on the selling climax, and then you can let the thing drag out and so forth. So anyway, it's interesting. Most of the stuff I get is junk anyway. On the stuff, this one has the promise, but it's not perfect, and it has a disclaimer on it, I don't use disclaimers on my work. I get away with it because basically I never got caught in a bear market, and because the T's are completely reliable on that sense. But I make mistakes, of course. The way you get rid of that one is you just call it T-theory observations. It's not a T-theory forecast. It's an observation. Okay, so just say, according to T-theory, this is what's supposed to happen. I don't guarantee the results, of course, but I don't even attempt to do it. I just say it's an observation. That's an interesting case. They came up with a low case. A guy named Lowe was in the advisory business. And he was a crook, and he went to jail. And when he came out of jail, he tried to register an investment advisor, and they said they wouldn't do it because they wouldn't let any crooks in. Okay, so what happens? It turns out, find out in 08, we find they're all a bunch of crooks. Okay, but they're all properly registered. Well, and then what happens is that it was decided by the Supreme Court that your First Amendment rights are protected, and so the fact that he served his time, and that was, and you could say anything you want to, and so that was sort of an interesting period from the past. So what you do is you just say an honest effort, and you just put in the disclaimers as you go along, and that's the way it goes. And but I would say that on balance, I would tend to average my 16% decline, maybe a little bit more, but not below 880, and I would average it against this other stuff, and I would say that, you know, there's an outside shot, from my perspective, there's an outside shot you're going to get it. So when you average your forecast together, you kind of think that you probably should be out of the market, and you should go and you should see if you can get this thing out. And if it's going to show up, it'll show up pretty quickly. So you know, it's not like you're going to the real waiting period is when you get after you have the selling climax. If there is a selling climax, then you have to go this sideways trend, which will beat you to death on that one. So anyway, that's the summary on the projects on the projections. And so we're going to end this part here, and then Joe wants to make he wants to send me more stuff. I'll talk about it, and we'll see how it goes. If he wants to have a chart printer, I'll be happy to do it for him. I would advise him not to do that, because you know, if he's right and do have a panic and he puts the chart out, people will always blame you as you caused the decline. And if it doesn't show up, then they'll say you're a jerk. So you know, sometimes it's better off to tell anybody anything. Okay, so that's the end of section B, and then we'll be back and we'll talk about the data in section C. Bye bye.